world tomorrow. Herbert W. Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
When Christ came himself, his whole gospel, his message was prophetic. It was a prophecy. I think you may not have heard that before. Have you heard Jesus proclaimed as a coming governor, a ruler, a king, or only as a Savior who shed his blood for us and who gives you salvation if you just have the password and say, I receive Jesus and I get, I take, and I accept Christ? Let me tell you, there's a lot more than that to it. You have to do that, that's true. But there's a lot more to it than that. They're leaving something out. Now we have materialism in the world, but we also need the spiritual knowledge and the true values that would help us to be happy with our materialism. We need the entirety of it.
And now, with a continuation of the last program in this series, here once again is Herbert W. Armstrong.
I would like to have you notice next another prophecy about his coming, which is in John, the 18th chapter of John. This is when Jesus himself was on trial for his life, just before they put him to death by crucifixion. And it's in John, the 18th chapter, and I would like to read verse 37 first. He was on trial before Pontius Pilate, who was a Roman governor there in Jerusalem. Pilate therefore said unto Jesus, Art thou a king then? You haven't heard Jesus preach as a king. You heard him preach as a Savior, as a Messiah. Now Pilate says, Are you a king? Jesus answered, Thou sayest I am a king. Well, I'll say so, or you say so. We use that expression today. To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world. He was born and came into the world to be a king. So said Jesus Christ himself, that I should be witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. But how many believe it when they do hear it? How many of you will believe what I'm going to give you tonight right out of the Word of God? And this is God himself speaking. Will you believe him? Now, the verse just before, I want to read now, the 36th verse, where Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. Now, I've shown you this world. It started with the first Adam. It was started by them rejecting the way of God, the law of God, the way of love, and starting out on the way of get, taking to themselves the knowledge of what is good and what is evil, and thinking it is good to take away from other people, to elevate and exalt the self, and to be selfish, and to be competitive, and to take away from others, and to go into violence and war. And that's the kind of world we've had. That's the kind of world we've had. My kingdom is not of this world. That's this world. Notice he's talking about two worlds here. We're in a world now, and there's going to be another world. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight, but now his kingdom is not of this world. Now then, what was the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? You think you have, but many of you have not. You have heard a gospel of men about Jesus Christ. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel Jesus himself brought and the gospel he proclaimed. And I'm going to read that to you tonight. You know, we used to have a Bank of Morgan in New York. It didn't mean it was a bank inside of Morgan. It meant that Mr. Morgan owned it. The gospel of Christ is the gospel that belongs to Christ, the gospel he preached, not a gospel about him. People have been preaching about Christ, but they have not preached Christ's message that he brought. They preach about the messenger. Christ was sent from God with a message. Christ was a messenger from God, and he brought a message to this world, and that message is the gospel. I'm going to preach to you that message tonight. Will you believe it? Christ preached that message to thousands and thousands of people. Twice he preached to 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. That's 10,000 men, not counting women and children. How many people believed what he said? Only 120 people believed what he said. Turn to your Bible in Acts 1, verse 15. The first chapter of the book of Acts, verse 15, there were 120. That is all that believed what he said. People don't want to believe what he said. They believe on Christ, but they don't believe Christ. There is a great difference. I hope you get that difference. So now we will turn next to Mark, the first chapter. And I want to start right at the very beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here it is, Mark, the first chapter, and the first verse, right at the beginning of the book of Mark, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's what the gospel of Christ was, my brethren, my friends, and you are my friend because I love you people here in this country. You are, I said last night, you are the most friendly, the most warm-hearted people I know of in any country. And I don't say that in other countries. I said that from the heart because I mean it. I'll tell you one reason. I try to slip out around the side because you are the handshakingest people I ever met up in all my life. And every one of you would shake hands with me if I could. And I just can't shake hands with so many of you. And I would like to if I could because I love every one of you. I know I've been in audiences here where I just wrung my hand out before I got through with you Filipinos. You just love to shake hands with people. And I think a lot of you love me, and I love you. And that's the way it ought to be. Well, notice the gospel of Jesus Christ, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. And it goes on to show John the Baptist preparing the way before him. And about Jesus himself being baptized and his temptation with the devil, and then he came preaching. Now, what we want to get to is Jesus' gospel. What was it? Verse 14. Now, after the John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel. What gospel? What was his gospel? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, a government. Did you know that? That is the gospel Jesus preached. The gospel of a government, the good news. Now, the word gospel means good news. It came from the early English word Godspell, but it means good news. Last night I gave you a little joke. We had both good news and bad news. But I tell you, I'm preaching you just good news tonight. I don't want to preach the bad news tonight. I gave you that last night. This tonight you're getting really the good news in the end. Now, he came preaching the gospel of the government of God, the kingdom of God. And incidentally, the kingdom of God is a divine family that will rule the government of every nation on the face of this earth. That is the message Jesus came preaching and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, therefore, and believe the gospel, that is, believe the good news. What do we repent of? What's the way the world has been living all this time? Ever since Adam, the world has been living the way of Get. The world has been living in violation of the law of God, which is give, which is outflowing love toward others. There's nothing wrong with that outflowing love. I come here to give to you people, not to get. I don't expect to take anything away from here. But I did come to give. I'm giving you something spiritual tonight. I'm giving you something worth billions and billions of pesos. That's what I'm giving you tonight. And I'm in the business of giving, not of getting. I'm not in business for any profit at all. The only profit I get is all spiritual, believe me. Now then, the government is the gospel Jesus came to preach when he is going to govern and rule all the nations of this earth in the kingdom of God. Now, he said, repent. Why? Of the way people have been living all this time ever since Adam. Repent of the way of Get. And the kingdom of God will have, every government has to be based on a law or a constitution. Now, just let me see, last Tuesday. My time does fly, doesn't it? But last Tuesday, Ronald Reagan took the oath of office, and he swore solemnly with his hand on the Bible and his hand, one hand on the Bible and the other hand raised, that he would faithfully protect the Constitution of the United States. That is the foundation of the government, and that is what he has sworn to protect and preserve and to administer. Now, what is the Constitution? What is the foundation of the government of God? The government that will bring peace to all the world. It is the law of love, the way of give. And he said, repent, because you haven't been living that way. He said, repent of the way you've been living. We've been living the wrong way, and because we live wrong, we've brought troubles on ourselves in this world. And let me tell you, there's a lot more trouble in other nations than there is here in your nation. Because maybe you've lived a little better than some of the other people. So you're not troubled quite as bad. But all nations are troubled because none of us have lived as good as we should. You know that, and I know that, and we all do. Every government is based on a foundational law. Now, the gospel is prophetic. Jesus didn't come to set up the kingdom of God then. He came to announce that he would do it in the future. That's a prophecy that he will do it. A prophecy has to do with what is going to happen in the future. It is not of this world. Jesus said to Pilate, I read that, you remember, just a few minutes ago, my kingdom, he said, is not of this world. It's of another world altogether, future. The way of this world is Get. He said, repent of that and believe this message, this good news of the coming way of God and the foundation of that government, which is love, the way of love. The whole world is on the way of Get. Now, that gospel was preached in the years between 27 and 31 A.D. In the year of 31 A.D., Jesus Christ was crucified. In that year, after he was crucified, after 3 days and three nights in the tomb, he was resurrected. And after 40 days, being with his disciples and the future apostles, he ascended up to heaven. And then, 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came for his church, started by those very apostles, and started by that 120 people that I told you about a minute ago. But now that was in the year of 31 A.D. Do you know what happened? They went out to preach that gospel, and many of them were put to death for doing it. They put Christ to death for preaching that gospel. They didn't want to hear that gospel, the good news of the way of love, the good news of a government that is going to administer that kind of a government on that kind of a constitution and foundation and bring happiness and peace to all people. People didn't want that. So they put Christ to death. Then they began putting his apostles to death as they went out preaching that same gospel. Now then, I want to read you next what happened just a little later. It's in the book of Galatians. In Galatians, the very first chapter. And this was written about 52 A.D. Now remember, the Holy Spirit came and the church started in 31 A.D., and 52 is only 21 years later. I guess it came of age, at age 21. And here's what the Apostle Paul was writing to the people in the church up in Galatia. That is the territory that is Turkey today. I've been there, and there are two major cities there. Now, he says in a letter to those people, about 1950 years ago. He said, I marvel that you up there in Galatia in the church are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. They had changed to a different gospel than the gospel of the kingdom of God. I want you to notice that. A different gospel than the good news about the government of God. And repenting of the way of Get and turning back to the way of Get again is what they were doing. He said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ was suppressed. And by 70 A.D., that gospel was not preached any longer to the world. Instead, men began preaching a gospel about Christ. They preached that Jesus was the Messiah. They preached just receive Christ. They preached grace. But they said the law is done away, and you don't have to obey that law of love. You can go on getting. You can go on the way of get. You don't have to live the way of outflowing love, the way that will be the law of the kingdom of God. And that has been preached for 1950 years. And I want to tell you that 54 years ago, I came to learn about the truth of the government of God and the way of God and the way that God says we should live. And what is sin? What is sin? It is the transgression of that law. 1 John, the 3rd chapter and verse 4. The only place in the Bible you'll find where sin is and then a definition. What is sin? I was brought up in a respectable church that taught me that sin was going to a show or a theater. Sin was having a pair of dice in your home or a deck of cards. And I don't believe that at all. I think that you can use a pair of dice and a deck of cards in the wrong way that can be sin, but I don't think that the deck of cards or the pair of dice themselves are sin, and yet that's what I was taught as a boy. I didn't believe that Christ came to set up a kingdom or a government. I didn't believe that at all. I began to read it in this book, and I began to believe what God says in this book. Will you believe it? Or will you go away and just believe whatever you've heard from other people instead of what God says? Well, that's your problem, not mine. Now, Jesus himself prophesied about world events, and he looked down into our time and told what is going to happen. I said to you last night that I would tell you the prophecies of our time right now and what's going to happen. Now, I want to get into that right away. And I would like to turn to Jesus' own prophecy in Matthew 24. This is the one, the most important prophecy, I would say, in the New Testament. You'll find the same prophecy also in Mark 13 and Luke 21, where you will find the same prophecy exactly. But I've used Matthew 24, usually because I believe it's a little more explicit, although you find almost the same thing in those other two places. Now, Matthew 24, and I would like to begin right at the first verse. Jesus went out of the temple, right there in Jerusalem. He was in the temple, and he went out of the temple and departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, see you not all of these things? There's all of the buildings. There's more than one building in a temple. And usually a castle or a palace of a king today is more than one building. And he said to them, see ye not all of these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be torn down. They could hardly believe that. That wonderful temple that Solomon, no, this isn't the same temple Solomon built. This is one that was built 70 years after Solomon's temple had been destroyed. But it was a very wonderful temple, not as fine as Solomon's, but bigger. And it was going to be destroyed. And Now later, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. This is a little later, but they remembered what he had said. And they came asking him, tell us, when shall these things be? Now, the things that he had said is that all the buildings of the temple are going to be torn down. Actually, that happened back in the year 70 A.D. That happened very soon after he talked to them, and probably before 31 A.D. Might have been about 30 was the time he said this. What shall be the sign of thy coming? They knew he had told them he was going to come back again, and they wanted to know when he would. They thought he would come at the same time. Now, he wasn't going to come until 1900 years later than that temple was to be destroyed, but they didn't know that. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world, of this world? This world of get, this world. Jesus said his kingdom was not of this world, remember? What's going to be the end of this world then? That doesn't mean the end of the earth. That just means the end of this kind of a world. We're going to have a different kind of a world. We'll go right on living. Now, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. You know, when you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. You think it's the truth. And if you knew it was not the truth, and knew it was wrong, you wouldn't be deceived at all. But a deceived person is one who really honestly believes it, and is fooled, and is wrong, but he doesn't know any better, and he doesn't know any different. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name. Now, I have looked up every place in the Bible where it says, in my name, and where people do things in Jesus' name, and in every case, they are like being an attorney and taking his name and acting on it. They are his agent when they come in his name. Many will come in my name saying that I am the Christ, not saying that they are the Christ. Many would come preaching that Jesus is the Christ. Many people have misunderstood that, saying that Jesus is the Christ, and will deceive many, because they will come with a message about Jesus, but they won't preach his message about the kingdom of God. They won't preach his message about repent of the way of get. They will just say, go on in the way of get, and you will be saved if you just say you receive Jesus. I can show you in the 8th chapter of the book of John, beginning with verse 30, where many Jews believed on him, just like many do today. And yet they tried to kill Jesus because they did not believe what he said. Believing on him is one thing, and believing him, believing what he says, is something else again. I said that a while ago, remember. Many will come proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ, and that's been going on for over 1900 years, and deceiving the world, but not preaching his gospel. Now then, I'd like to have you drop down to verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom, the gospel Jesus preached about the government of God, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. They said, when will the end of this world come? The end of this world won't come until someone is preaching the good news of the coming kingdom of God and the way of life of give instead of get. My brethren and my friends here in the Philippine Islands, I am preaching that gospel to you tonight. Will you believe it? Or will you be like others and say, oh, I don't believe what God says. I believe what the devil says. Whom are you going to believe? Whom are you going to believe? If you believe the wrong one, I'll tell you, you don't have very much longer to live. I don't mean 2 or 3 months. Not necessarily even 2 or 3 years. But it won't be very much longer, let me tell you, because we're right at the time when terrible things are going to happen.
This topic will be continued on the next edition in series of The World Tomorrow. You have heard The World Tomorrow with Herbert W. Armstrong. For literature offered on this program, send your requests along with the call letters of this station to Herbert W. Armstrong.